this is Buddy Hackett, and you are very lucky because you are listening to the Go From There podcast with Trevante Aramiro. I call him Joe.
Green Room, Comedy Works, Greenwood Village.
That's Denver.
Yeah, sorry.
That Greenwood Village is Denver.
Denver. Thank you, JJ.
You got it.
Trevante Aramiro.
We've got a little bit of an audience. We've got Melissa, we've got Ricardo. We just saw an absolute ripper. I mean...
You farted?
Yeah. It's been a long weekend, you know?
The whole time.
Been like holding it in.
This mic picks up your voice just regular like that?
That's yeah.
Cool. I gotta get that out.
Well, it's going to sound like shit because it's echoey in here and we're you know, a foot from each other.
We'll get real close like this.
Yes.
Bringing it down. This is a couple skate for the ladies. This is Get Down On It by Kool & the Gang.
Kool & the Gang. Have you ever seen that album cover?
Why are you talking? Shut up.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding. I am loving this. I didn't know this about you. I'm not going to say what, but I dig it. Jay Moore, kind
That's
enough
me.
To be on the podcast.
The Go From There podcast.
I'm nuts right now, dude. Your show was amazing.
It was fun.
Was it?
Yeah, it's the best.
How was the weekend?
The weekend's great. The Comedy Works in Denver is the best comedy club in the country. I say it on my podcast all the time,
yeah.
So people listening to this are like, you're just saying that because you're there. Like, no, I say it all the time. This is the absolute best comedy club in the country.
Can we take some pictures of it, please?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I've been waiting for this for months. There's been a little bit of tumult leading up to this. I want to ask you about. We don't have much time, so I have just a couple things. First thing I want to tell you, I owe everything that has happened through this podcast, through Twitter, through Jay Moore Sports, directly to you. And I feel like I have to tell you that just because like I've sort of made it a point like when I have somebody like Lupe or somebody like Vito or somebody like Beyer on the podcast, you know, your radio show guys.
Dan Beyer.
Yes.
Boy.
Boy.
Good sports talk.
My body, my choice. We just had that discussion a minute ago.
Beyer's the best.
He's
the
sweetest
star.
Guy. Holy shit. No, but like, I felt like I made it a point to try to, you know, distance myself from your stuff. And I didn't want you to think that I'm hacking off you or I'm stealing stuff, like stealing people from you.
Oh, I don't give a shit. It's a free market.
I'm just saying.
People that like me like you, that's what it's about. We should all help each other.
I agree.
Don't know why, like, I don't know why comics don't retweet each other's dates all the time. You're never in the same town at the
exactly.
same time. And we would have club owners by the balls.
Unless you're Jay Moore and Bobby Kelly, apparently.
Yeah, Bobby's downtown. The comedy, all right, this is how good a comedy town Denver is. There's two comedy clubs 10 miles apart. With two headliners, like Bobby Kelly's downtown, I'm here.
And
they're both sold out, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you deserved it tonight. You were unreal. But I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you for everything. Because at this point, I can't be like, you know, Jay is a whole other thing. Like, you and Barry are the reason I started doing this. And at this point, like, your audience completely helps me out. And it's amazing.
Yeah, they like you.
I just want to thank you.
For whatever you're doing, it's worth it. I'm not going to lie. I have not heard the podcast.
I wouldn't.
But people are always like, they love, like when Beyer was on, apparently it was a show, it was like a great podcast.
I think what worked with that one is because, like, you know, you kind of bust him a little bit on the air about him, you know, when people get after him, he starts kind of getting the red ass about, you know, the bacon jokes and all that stuff.
Yeah, I put the moratorium down, like, there was a joke a long time ago about him eating children, and he and I had a conversation. And
don't
like,
post any of these, by the way.
We don't want none of this. I don't want him to be like Baba Booey. I don't want him to be like a
right.
punchline because he's like
he's
an anchor. Like he updates. He's the update anchor for the entire network. He's in charge of all other update anchors, and he's great at his job.
Yeah, but I think like where I kind of won some people with that one was the fact that I asked him. Like a lot of the podcasts, obviously you have to just sit there and massage and ball wash and all that kind of stuff. But with him, like the one thing that was just burning in me to ask Beyer was like, what do you hate about the radio show? Because you can tell in his voice it changes when he gets pissed off about when they're ragging him. And I think like the fact that I kind of went there with it instead of just you know your voice is amazing and you're so damn good at your job. Like I could have done that and I did.
What was his answer? What bothers him on the radio show?
Of course you'd ask me.
I will lord it over him.
No, it was I kind of, you know, led the witness. I kind of was like, you know, when people get after you directly, does that piss you off? And I think what his answer was like, just it gets old quickly sometimes. I mean, especially when they glom on one thing on one show, there's 3,000 tweets in one day about, I like bacon, you know, all that bullshit, you know. And that would get annoying, especially like they treat him like he's like a fat guy or like he's like the tuba thing.
Yeah.
You know, just shit like that.
He's really talented. And I always want, whenever I'm out, guest hosts have a horrible job because they're used to Jay Moore Sports. And then when there's a guest host, like people get livid and I always wanted him and Maddie and Tui to guest host the show. Maddie now does the overnights. But I'm like, when I'm gone, there's no reason Tui and Dan can't just talk sports for 3 hours. I don't understand why they don't do it.
What's the deal?
I don't know why. I told Beyer to go to Vito's office and cut a demo.
He hasn't done it, right?
He's busy. He's really busy. But, I mean, if I was out, like Monday I'm off because I'm driving back to L.A. But if it was like just Tui and Beyer, I think that would be great. And I think it would be business as usual, you know.
Because
a new guy, he just gets thrown to the wolves, and people are like, "This isn't what I signed up for." Yeah. And it's a tough gig for me.
It's funny too how they really tear him up too. Like they don't have to do that; just turn the dial.
And what better way to make the new guy think I'm a dick because you're tweeting him that he sucks, and he's gonna be like, "Jay Moore's fans are assholes."
Yeah, what a bunch of cunts.
Keep it positive.
Exactly.
The guy's doing the best he can.
Before I forget, I just want to tell you how happy it made me that you went. Like when you're one of your jokes, you said cock.
A cock. That's the tip of the hat to the late great Otto and George.
Absolutely. And everybody in my section is like, what the fuck is he laughing at? Because that's I knew it, you know. It's made me very happy.
Thanks, man. It was a fun show, man.
I have two questions since we don't have much time. I don't know if you want to go on either one, maybe three.
I don't care what you ask.
Rocco Pandola. What happened?
I don't know. I never met him, so I have no idea what happened. Okay. I never met the man, but
he agreed to do this, and I'm gonna smash him. I'm gonna be like, "What the fuck are you doing?
What did he do?
He's just a dick." Like when he was guest hosting for you, all he wanted to talk about was World Cup, which is fine, right? But it's like the opposite of you. It's like, you know, you were like, "I don't care about that." That's all he wanted to talk about,
right?
And then, you know, of course, tweets smash him and all that kind of stuff, and then he's gone already. Is that right?
I think he quit like on air. But he does like
is that a tough guy move or is that a pussy move?
Well, if it's not what you want to do, it's a self-preservation move. Yeah. But I know he writes really good articles about like finance and investing. thestreet.com
is his
website. Right. And I read his stuff, I'm like, this guy's pretty sharp. And then when he was guest hosting, it seemed like it was going pretty good, and then I don't know. There were some veiled tweets launched my way about being comedians on radio. And
subtweeting, I learned that week. I didn't realize what subtweeting meant. It's basically where you're talking to somebody or talking about someone without doing a little at mention for them.
Yeah,
there was a lot of that shit going on.
Well, that's a pussy move. Like if you're gonna slam me, at least put my name in it so I can go, "Hey, man, I supported you."
Because that's what you do.
Yeah,
I put my name on it. Yeah,
man.
Oh,
you have to put your name on it, man. But no, I don't know anything about Rocco other than he guest hosted a couple times and I thought it was fine, and then it went south quick, but not on my end. I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
I'll bless him a little bit. He agreed to do it.
So. Don't do it on my behalf. Just do
it. I just think it was a dick move. Like, why would you do that? It's like that's girl high school shit. Sorry.
That'll probably end the podcast.
I don't give a shit. You know, the ones I haven't had one where somebody just like, you know what, fuck this, and just left. I'm kind of wanting it, you know?
All right.
I want the one. Is this
what
it?
What if he listens? No. What if he, but what if he listens to this?
I'll send it to him directly.
And then DM. He falls out.
He follows me. I don't know why.
But what if he listens to you slamming him and he's like, "Why am I going to do a podcast if the whole point of it is you slamming me?"
I'm not going to like, you know how it is. Like there's a conflict. You get into it and like if you figure out a way to get around it, then you get around it. We're buddies, right?
Yeah.
I do it like you know?
The fans need to know, Mr. Emilio is dressed in like a three-piece suit. He's got the pocket square, the turquoise baby blue tie. Like he's rocking. And his girlfriend looks, I mean, you guys are dressed.
I friend zoned him so long ago. It's fine.
You what?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, like you guys are girlfriend and boyfriend?
No. I just made her clean herself up to bring her down.
I'm glad you did.
Cause... Do you wonder why at all?
Huh?
Do you wonder why?
Why? About the suit?
Yeah.
Yeah, why?
I think it was Bill Burr. Might have been Jimmy Pardo. That's totally different. I don't know what the fuck I'm thinking.
Maybe it was Don Pardo.
You know what?
Ladies and gentlemen, Jay Moore!
Do you know that guy? Well, yeah, did you ever hang out with him?
Yeah, I did. One of your great Don Pardos.
He's
the voice of Saturday Night Live.
Hang on. Let me just tell you why. I know that was a ridiculous interrupt, but...
Stop making excuses.
It's out of respect. This is a performance. You know, we paid, we drove a long way.
Stop hitting the table, you're going to fuck up the thing. There you go.
You know, it's just a thing, like, I've every comedy show I've ever gone to, I've only gone to a few, like, Bill Burr, Colin Quinn, Jim Brewer.
Anyway, I'm making a big deal out of it. Like, Trevante rolls into a comedy club in a three-piece suit. Like, look at me, I'm a made man, all right?
It's amazing. So yeah, that's just out of respect.
You come to a show, you dress nice. Yeah. I used to dress nice. I used to wear suits on stage when I was really dirty, because I realized if I wore a suit, I can get away with being that filthy. But then I'm like, I don't want to talk like that on stage anymore. It's still dirty. I still curse a lot, but it's not what I used to be doing.
You said the C word. I was offended.
Well, to Sarah McLachlan.
Fair enough. Okay. Don Pardo.
Yeah, oh, I'm sitting with Don Pardo. There's like this little area where you come and go at Saturday Night Live, and we're just sitting on a little bench having coffee, and I said, Don Pardo, out of all the musical acts in the history of Saturday Night Live, who's your all-time favorite musical act? And he says, are you kidding me, my man? BJ! And I go, Billy Joel? And he goes, Bon Jovi! I was like, Don Pardo likes Bon Jovi? I go, Bon Jovi's your favorite? And he goes, that motherfucker can sing. And like that, he was on like 2 weeks later and he did Always. Like, I'll be there forever. Yeah. And when he hit Always, I'm like, fuck, he can fucking sing.
Yeah, he's a ripper for sure.
Maybe he'll sing at halftime at Bills games after he moves them to Cutter. Fucking Bon Jovi, what are you doing?
Dick.
Move him to Perth Amboy, New Jersey, your hometown.
That's a good point. I wanted to ask you about this. Is this going to go any distance toward you unblocking me on Twitter?
I didn't block you on Twitter.
I can prove that. Do you remember what happened?
No. Tell me as I look.
I shared a private message, a screen grab. You remember? You even called me out on the air.
Well, I always do, because somebody else did it early.
Apparently it was Jay Gray. We'll give him a little shout. Oh, Virginia Gamecock and... Luis Camacho.
Is it G? Luis Camacho is a good dude.
And so is
Jay Gray, of course. What is the Twitter handle exactly?
Me?
Yeah.
GFTPod.
GFTPod.
Oh, this is amazing. He's actually looking on his
like
iPhone.
Like that?
Yeah.
How come nothing comes up?
Because you fucking blocked me.
No, there would be like an egg or something. GFTPod. You're not blocked, stupid.
What? It fucking says blocked right there.
You are blocked and I'm stupid. Unblocked.
Yes. Victory.
And I will send a tweet right now.
Oh my God.
Keep talking when I do this.
No, this
kill
is
time. Vamp.
This whole thing, like, it's fleshed out in my world. Like, you didn't see any of this shit, obviously, because I'm blocked. But everybody, like, my boss, my old boss, sorry. I told him that this might be kind of going down at the Comedy Works, you know? And he's like, in a buyer-esque fashion, he goes, well, don't fucking share it on Facebook this time. He's just smashing me because I'm an idiot, you know?
Yeah, because I thought direct messages, like, that's like the private...
I know, but like...
Am I wrong? Like,
no, not at all.
Do people share them often?
No, here's what happened. Like, we were talking about something totally different. You kind of slipped this thing in. Hey, Comedy Works, what do you think? And I saw it hours later, and I'm like, oh my God! I might have even been drunk. I'm pretty sure I probably was. And I just screen grabbed it and I shared it. I'm an idiot.
You're not an idiot.
All right.
Be nice to yourself.
All right.
What else you want to know? Let's go. Let's do it.
Anthony Cumia, like, and all this whole, you know, the whole broadcasting issue. Like, you've been talking about it a little bit, you know, with the Ray Rice thing, the Stephen A. Smith thing. Like, where are you at with that? I started panicking because I work for, I'm under the corporate umbrella now, as of 2 weeks ago, and I'm freaking out that they're going to make me not do this anymore.
Well, just don't tell him you do it, and it's in your private time. The thing with Anthony that bothered me was he was tweeting on his private time, and the media spun it, and they said, race-laden tweets. But if you read the tweets, he didn't say anything about her being black. He didn't do anything. He was attacked, and he did call her a savage. But if somebody attacks you, they're a savage.
Yeah.
And my tweet about Anthony Cumia was, it's sad that SiriusXM fired Anthony Cumia for what he did in his private time while they play pornography on their corporate time. Like, you, you listen to SiriusXM satellite radio, you go to, like, the Vivid channel, and literally a lady will, like, take a fucking cum shot to her face at, like,
serious?
At 12:30 in the afternoon. And I'm like, well,
what time is there?
I mean, what? Lunchtime, obviously, for her.
Yeah.
So
I got a smoke break. Let's do this.
Yeah. I'm hungry. Hatch, please. And, and I don't understand. Like, SiriusXM is supposed to stand for, you know, you can say
no
shit here.
Yeah.
And if you go to, like, the hip-hop channels, it's nigger this, nigger that, nigger this. Like, non-stop.
Great, now I'm fired. Thanks, bro.
No, I said it. You didn't say it. But it's like, I don't know what the line is anymore. Like, you get, like, Don Imus got fired for saying nappy-headed hoes.
Yeah.
Don Imus doesn't even know what that means. And he only heard it from black people.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, no white guy that Don Imus hangs out with went, hey, what's going on with these nappy-headed hoes? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's some shit he heard from the black community, and he regurgitated it because he thought it was appropriate and he thought it was funny.
Right.
And then they fired him. But with the line, as Russell Brand said, I think the problem is the line. We have to get rid of the line. It keeps moving, shaping, shifting. So if you just get rid of the line, look, there's things you can say at work. There's things you can't say at work. Anthony got fired for something he didn't do at work. He wasn't on the air when he said it. And they got fucked before Opie and Anthony. They got fired for Sex for Sam contest. They had a contest. What's the strangest place you can have sex?
And it was on a point system.
And a couple called from St. Patrick's Cathedral. They were having sex in St. Pat's, so Opie and Anthony get fired.
Yeah.
Opie and Anthony weren't fucking in St. Patrick's Cathedral. It was some fucking crazy couple that called in there. Like, they didn't do it. They were in a studio doing their jobs. And then the other time they got fired, a homeless guy said he was going to rape Condoleezza Rice.
Okay.
They didn't say it. Yeah. A fucking actual crazy man off the street who's homeless said it. And they got fired for it. Like, you can't...
Where does that put you, though? I mean, you're in a safe enough arena. You know, sports talk... I mean, you...
Oh, there's nothing safe about my arena. I walk that tightrope every day. Because the shit I say on stage in a comedy club...
Yeah.
It is a matter of time before somebody takes 15 seconds of an entire bit and just isolates it.
Yeah.
And then and then that would become a social media firestorm. Like,
Well, do you worry about that?
No, because I don't give a fuck. And like Anthony Cumia, I will not apologize. And I say it on the radio show all the time. The day corporate asked me to apologize is my last day working for that company, because I know comedy. I've been doing it 29 years. And I would like to say at 29 years, I'll just self-gloss. I'm an expert. That's what I know. As much as a rocket scientist knows rockets and science, that's how much I know comedy. So if I'm doing a long bit, and if I'm imitating a black guy and I drop an N-bomb in that discussion, if you isolate that conversation and put it in social media or you send it to the Huffington Post, it's going to look like I am just saying the N-word on stage, completely out of context. And then I'm in the position of going, it was taken out of context.
Yeah,
I was imitating a black guy that I overheard saying it. And I'll just say, no, I'm fucking done, because it's not going... I'll sell tickets for a very long time. I got a real diehard following. And I'm just... More people need to be like Anthony Cumia and not cave in. Like Daniel Tosh had a rape joke at the Laugh Factory. And he... Look, there's nothing funny about rape at all. But what he was saying was... in response to like a lady heckling the shit out of him about something. It was like a whole, there's always four sentences prior and four sentences after that nobody wants to know what
Tracy
it is.
Tracy Morgan.
Stab my son in the chest if he was gay.
You fucking, no, you made the perfect exit for that. Like you said, if it would have been funny and it wouldn't have been fucked up if you would have said, I'll stab my son in the chest with a dick. You said that once.
Oh, I don't remember saying that.
It's fucking hilarious. Like,
I've forgotten
it's
more comedy.
Well, that's what I do. That's awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, look, Tracy's not against gays. We're in show business. We're surrounded by gay. Like, in our formative years, the people that were the kindest to us were people of color, if you're white, and gays. And so I don't know of any entertainer that has, like, any issue with homosexuality or race whatsoever. So if you get any comic and you try to accuse them of being a racist, you're like... Have you seen me in the green room?
Yeah.
Not me personally, but
right.
Like my friend. You know what I never understood? whenever it used to be on like the Ricky Lake show, when they'd accuse somebody of being a racist, and the person would go, "I'm not a racist. My best friend is a racist," and the audience will go, "Whoa!" Like that's the quick, and they would react like that's the craziest shit in the world. And I always watched it go, "No, he actually has a really good point. Like if his best friend is racist, maybe that you know, yeah. maybe give him a little credit." He's not a racist, but right. anybody in show business, you can't get around gays, you can't get around drug addicts, you can't get around transgender, you can't get around blacks, Puerto Ricans, Jews, like you just can't get around it. So the yeah. fact that any entertainer is like prejudiced or homophobic is fucking absurd, but we talk about it because we mirror and we repeat life experiences. So if I have a story about like two gay guys that met me outside of like a Whole Foods market, and I do their voices to an, and if yeah, somebody yeah. isolates that and go, look how what a homophobe, yeah. it's like no, like
I'm, well, that's what I was panicking about a couple weeks ago because I had my buddy Rob. He's like a sometime co-host with me. He's on
I
the
never
show
liked
the
Rob.
Nah, he's not a good dude. He's a rough guy. But anyway, like we were talking about the Anthony thing, and he's like, fuck, I don't want to talk about this. Just don't. And I'm like, what the fuck are you? What are you so upset about? Because he's always about like, you know, talking about whatever and saying whatever he wants. I had forgotten, and actually, Melissa here had a little issue with it
Sweet
too.
Sweet Melissa,
you're amazing. In Seattle, Rob got mugged by two black guys. So his prism, his lens that he's looking through to talk about this discussion is completely warped to the negative side, and that's what he was trying to wave me off. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why are you so upset? And he's like, do you forget what happened in Seattle? I'm like, apparently. And then he said it. And I'm like, like you can't even have like a normal conversation about it.
Then Rob should be prejudiced against two particular black men.
That's exactly what he said. That's exactly what he said.
Yeah,
he's not, because he's not. He's the sweetest guy ever.
Like Paula Deen, she lost like a multi-million-dollar empire. And the thing with Paula Deen was all anybody knows Paula Deen is a racist.
Yeah,
because she said the N-word.
Butterfat and racist.
But the thing with Paula Deen was the trial wasn't about her being a racist. It was a whole trial about her. It was something about her, when you hold people down in your company, what's the word I'm looking for?
Nepotism.
She was discriminatory against white employees. And then somebody...
What? Oh, that's right.
Somebody brought it up in the trial, like out of nowhere, the other lawyer was like, and she drops N-bombs. And then Paula Deen, being honest, which is all America wants, is somebody to just put their name on it and go, yeah, you know what? I did do this. Just tell me what you fucking did and we can move on. The reason Paula Deen said the word nigger is because she was working at a bank and a black guy put a fucking gun in her mouth. And then when she would recall within that year, she called that guy that word and with a gun in her mouth. And then she went on, and that was like 30 years ago. And it ended her fucking career. Her name is synonymous with old white ladies that are prejudiced against black people.
Sure.
And because she was honest.
Yeah. So you're not afraid of it then?
Afraid of?
Just some horseshit, non-contextual thing coming out.
I'm not afraid of it because there's nothing I can do about it. And I discover with the Alyssa Milano fiasco, it'll happen when it has no merit and it's completely absurd. If it feels like happening, it'll happen. It'll pop out of the earth like a fucking weed.
Real quick, like for the people that aren't warriors.
I was doing a podcast with Adam Ray. My good friend Adam Ray has a podcast, the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams, who's itty bitty. He's a midget,
so
man.
Funny.
And Adam Ray, I just hosted the NASCAR Awards, and he does a Tony Danza impression, and we were like, Samantha, and he goes, I said, I just saw her at the NASCAR Awards, and he goes, hey, how did she look? But he said it like how guys,
hey, what do you think,
we'll say it, but like, I'm doing a podcast from my house, my wife's like in the next room, what am I supposed to say, like, bro, I'd eat that fucking box all night, man, like, I don't know what girls look like, I got the one I want for the rest of my life, so I go, bro, she was like 300 pounds, she took off her Spanx, and she said, fuck it. And he goes, how do you know that? I go, I just read it on her gut. She just had a fucking
gut. God.
And it's like,
an obvious joke.
She weighs 105 pounds.
Exactly.
She's like, you can't get smaller than Alyssa Milano.
Sure.
And then she tweeted me, thanks for fat shaming me. Magic media word. By the way, in all racism, all, you know, all anti-Semitism, there's always a buzzword that the media loves. Fat shaming.
Yep.
And then everybody picked up on it. It was on ABC News.
That's not on Yahoo.
Robin Roberts and George Stephanopoulos were talking about me being a fat shamer. And then they show the clip, because news is biased, and they'll manipulate anything they can to get their agenda across. With that story, they said, this isn't the first time Jay Moore has made a run at women. And they showed the one joke I told about Danica Patrick. And there was only one. It was that one Danica Patrick joke where I said, I hope you're not uncomfortable tonight. I know you're not used to being this close to the front.
Love it.
Like, so I made fun of Jimmy Johnson for fucking 6 minutes in a row. But yeah, they just paired that one thing. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm a fat shamer? Like, it was fucking insane. And I sent her flower privately. I sent her a handwritten note because I felt bad that she felt bad. And that was, that's why I gave an apology, because made somebody feel bad.
Sure.
And I wrote her a handwritten note. I sent her flowers and all that stuff. And then on Twitter, I responded and I wrote the blog. And then people on Twitter are like, well, maybe you shouldn't make it public. Maybe reach out to her privately. And what you can't say on Twitter is, I did.
Yeah,
I sent her flowers. Because then.
Oh, wait, you can't? Sorry. Shit.
You can subtweet it.
Yeah, subtweet it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really skinny girl, I hope she's not mad at me anymore.
She weighs like 105 pounds. It was absurd. So I'm not afraid of it because, as I saw from the Alyssa Milano situation, it's going to happen. If it's going to happen, there's nothing you can do about it. You're fine. Take your time.
Okay. No, I got a couple things.
Why are you unbuttoning your pants? Go on. Just don't worry about it.
I just...
No. Nice, bro. My man's packing. Look at that.
Oh, look at it. A little tell.
Oh, take it to a game.
Merlin.
That dick is illicit.
Lifeboat band. Four or five piece band. Any members, living or dead? Who's your super group?
Well, that's the thing. You don't want people that are going to make you fucking crazy. Because my first thought was Miles Davis, but I think Miles Davis, he'd be the first one we would eat, and he'd still be alive because it would make you nuts. I would go Jimmy Page. We're doing each instrument. I'm going to go Steve Gorman on drums because he's such a cool guy.
You fucking...
Well, he's my friend. He's great.
I know. Stop ball watching.
So if I got like a great friend that's also in the Black Crowes, like fucking... And Gorman's a guy you can confide in, and he's fucking cool.
He's great, yeah.
So I'll take Gorman, bass. I don't really fucking know bassists, but I will go bass. Bay, let's come back to bass.
Let me just throw Les Claypool in there for you.
Thank you.
Nah, it's too specific. You need somebody like when you go, let's do Yellow Submarine. They can go, sure.
Yeah.
Les Claypool.
Team player.
Yeah.
All right.
So I got drums. I got guitarist, frontman. I will go Freddie Mercury.
Woo!
And he's such a great frontman. He was a gay guy, openly gay. The name of his band was Queen.
And
straight guys are in the audience going, yeah! Like, that's how they're laughing.
What do you hear? Are you here next week, bro?
Rhythm guitar. I'll take Ronnie Wood. And then for bass, I don't fucking know bassists. Do you know bassists?
I know a couple. Rex Brown, he's a good team player. Pantera, he's been in a bunch of side projects. I know metal more than anything else.
Metal bass? Bootsy Collins, what are we talking about?
Oh, shit.
Bootsy Collins, Steve Gorman, Jimmy Page, Ron Wood, Freddie Mercury.
Playing what song to close it?
The Closer?
Yeah.
10 Years Gone by Zeppelin.
Nice. If you could make your...
Did you ever really need somebody? Did you need a really bad brum?
Ultimate Warriors comedy tour. You're on a bus, blue collar style. You got you and three other guys. Who do you take?
Comics?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Ralphie May.
I knew you were going to say him first. Why him first?
Because he's my friend, and he's kind, and I love him dearly. Like, I love him, like a family member, love him.
God, he made me laugh on the last podcast when he was talking about, like, sending all the, like, if they shut Budweiser down and
put bass it somewhere boats, else. Sea of mullets. I would take John DiMaggio, but he's not doing stand-up comedy, so... Greatest comic. Living or dead or just living?
Yeah, whatever.
It's got to be living.
I suppose.
Because you got to go Carlin.
Well, they got the holograms now.
All right, I'll take a Carlin hologram.
There you go.
How many comics?
You and three others.
Me and... So three comics. Me and three
comics.
That
would be the math, yeah.
I will go Ralphie. I will go Jim Brewer. Oh, fuck. That's going to be the best. Ralphie, Brewer. Suddenly Carlin's out of place.
Oh, shit.
Carlin... All right, I'll go Ralph. My living comics are Ralphie, Brewer.
I
And I'll go Greg Proops, because you will never not be entertained.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And he knows something about everybody. You could literally pull over in Peru to buy sweaters, and he would tell you like the historical significance of how they knit the sweater.
Exactly. I did a little dumb solo
pod. Huh? What?
I did a little dumb solo pod yesterday, and I was talking about Liz. I had a couple of really weird dreams, and you said dead comics. This is such a bizarre dream, and I have no idea where it came from. In the dream, I'm referencing this moment right now, sitting in a room across from you. And in the dream, I don't know who's driving the car. I'm in the front passenger seat, and Patrice O'Neill is in the back seat, but like in the middle, like not on either side. He's just kind of posted up with the like fedora and the, you know, the jacket and stuff, just kind of, you know, sitting there like he would. And for some reason, I don't know why Patrice was the guy, but I'm looking over the seat, and I'm talking to him like, bro, like this Jay Moore thing could be like really awesome for my podcast. I'm like super excited. I'm like, if there's some way that I could like bookend the Jay Moore thing of the week by having you on, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, podcast would be nuts.
What did he say in the dream?
He goes,
"Nigga, I'm dead." Patrice, that's how you know Patrice loved you, when he would call you an N-bomb.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In mixed company. Like, when a black comic calls a white guy the N-word, you're like, wow, this guy really thinks highly of me.
Yeah.
As he odd goes, as that sounds.
In the dream, he licked his lips. He kind of goes, He's like, "All right, man, I'm down. Let's do it." That's all he said. I have no idea where that fucking came from.
I like it. Could you take another one where we're actually both in it?
Sure.
Ricardo's my...
Just get a little closer.
Ricardo's my pool boy, so don't mind him.
He's good.
I told the security...
Straight up and down, sweetheart.
All right.
I told the security he was my dad.
So what did Patrice say in your dream?
I just said it.
I forgot.
Oh. Well, I wish I could do the voice better, but he kind of licked his lips and like... He wasn't looking
at me. Oh, yeah, he goes, I'm with it. Yeah.
He wasn't looking at me. He was just kind of looking down, looking out the window. Yeah, man, I'll do it. I'm down.
The weirdest thing about him on the More Stories podcast was the last thing he said was, "You know what I realized? I'm lazy. I need to apply myself." And then he fucking died. I'm like, can you imagine Patrice trying? Like, that's Patrice when he hadn't tried?
Yeah.
He was amazing.
We watch his shit all the time, over and over. Sexual harassment day.
He would do crowd. Yeah. just once... The third Thursday every other month.
No, it's the second Tuesday of, or no, it's the next Tuesday after Thanksgiving. Wasn't that what it was?
Yeah. Sexual harassment day.
Yeah. Hey Judy, when you get up to go to the bathroom, will you let me know so I can go over and sniff your chair?
Yeah.
So funny. And I forgot what I was talking about. Fuck.
Who cares? Make something up. How are you? How you doing?
I'm amazing.
You
right
live
now.
In Denver?
No.
Where do you live?
I'm about to live in Vail. You should come see us.
In Vail?
Special invite, yeah. Come try out some pimpin' sunglasses.
I gotta figure out, what do you sell, sunglasses in a mall, in a kiosk?
I work for a company that does some, that's nice. I always wondered what the Colin face was.
Well, that wasn't Don Rickles is the guy that goes, anyway, but you know, gang, anyway.
You did the face like Colin, though.
Anyway. Because Colin and I always do that to each other. Anyway. That's when you know a joke was bad. You just go, anyway. So you work for a sunglass company in Vail?
Yeah, you should come out there.
It's very bright. Snow fucking kills your eyes.
Pretty wild. Everybody smells amazing, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like patchouli and hemp?
No, it's different. I basically work in Disneyland. Like, nothing is real. I come out of the car park and everything is like...
I stopped there to, like, get gas, and it's just Starbucks right there in the town Avon. That's kind of near there, and I'm like, this is the best. I said to my wife in the drive-in, I'm like, we could totally get a house here for 2 weeks when it's, like, crazy snowing.
If you get, like, a mother-in-law apartment, can I live in there?
Yeah, sure.
Right on. Because I need to get up. I'm a little...
Will you rub my calves?
While you piss? Of course.
No, I'll lay down in the bed nice.
Oh, my God.
Go from there. Why'd you name the podcast Go From There?
My dad, who has actually done one of these... He basically helped me interview one of his sort of like... Not, I wouldn't say hero, but there's a guy named Pat Pirelli. He's a world-renowned horse trainer. And my dad has like all the DVDs. He's into the training.
Equine,
he actually does
equine sports. Equine.
Yeah. I was trying to
it
do
was
it.
Good. You did it all right.
All right,
you
know? Thank you.
Your dad's best friend is a horse trainer. That's good. Most kids are like, this is my dad and all his friends from his old army unit. Not, you know, Giovanni's like, this is my dad. He saddles horses.
Yeah, the rumor is he might have been a gangbanger, so the army wasn't really the thing. But I don't know. That I shouldn't have said that, but whatever.
You can edit that out.
Yeah. He did the show with me one time, but when I first started the whole thing, like, he's the guy that I want to...
Stop hitting the table.
I like it. I like radio noises.
It's your audio.
Exactly. I'll clean it up.
Your dad, go on, sorry.
He is the guy that I want to talk to more than anybody. Just because there's a whole, like, there's a whole section of his life that I don't know anything about, and I think it might be, like, a bit dirty.
Your dad?
Yeah.
Great. So you're Greg Isles novel. This is
exactly.
cool.
Exactly. But I don't think, like, well, for one thing, I don't think he wants to, like, ever say it, some of it. But then, for sure, now that my mom is still around, he's out. And
just
so
just get him hammered.
Yeah, recovery. Can't do it.
I was trying to get my wife on more stories. I just tweeted.
How did she not do it? Like, she did a
because
few.
Because everybody, all it takes is three people on Twitter go, could you please shut her the fuck up? And my wife has the self-esteem of a fucking ant. She wakes up thinking that she absolutely sucks. So anybody, even if there's 100 positives, the one negative, she'll be like, they hate me.
Yeah.
But I will get her.
Yeah.
Literally.
So, and the go from there thing, all it is my daddy just says it. A lot of times it makes sense, you know, like, hey, you know, email me, we'll meet at the club, we'll do a podcast, go from there, right? Makes sense. But then he says it so often that he just kind of trails off and it's like weird non sequitur or it doesn't make sense and he just says it all the time. And when I was like trying to come up with a name, like when I start a podcast, like I have zero, like I'm building completely from the ground up, sand foundation, the whole thing. And I couldn't come up with anything else. And I was like trying to tie it into him somehow and that's what I came up with. So.
Go From There podcast brought to you by Travanti's dad's friend that trained horses in Smirnoff Ice.
Oh, this is fun. We got to be done. I got to get paid. Big Mama got it all. I got to pay my whole work.
One last favor. Please say,
my titties itch.
you look me deep in the eyes.
I need you to know.
Will you please say, this is Buddy Hackett, and you're listening to Travanti Jaramillo on the Go From There podcast. As this, Buddy Hackett.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you do it as Perry Farrell?
Hey, this is Buddy Hackett.
Oh, my God.
You guys are my coffee, man.
Yeah.
What am I saying?
You're listening to the Go From There podcast with Travanti Jaramillo.
Hello, this is Buddy Hackett, and you are very lucky because you are listening to the Go From There podcast with Travanti Jaramillo. I call him Joe.